We'll be reading 2 Samuel chapter 22. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this psalm on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God I called. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong fort. Refuge, and he has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire in the streets. You delivered me from the strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known, served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
As we come again to 2 Samuel 22, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, what a joy and a privilege to hear these words, to be reminded that you have inspired your servant of long ago, and you have preserved them for us. And by the power of your Spirit, we ask now that you will indeed speak to us through these words. You will exhort us, you will encourage us, you will strengthen us. And so meet with us now, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Well, last week as we looked at 2 Samuel 22, we saw that God, the rock, is mighty to save. That was really the driving factor in our first look at this song that David has written. And what we saw is the reason David is declaring that truth is that God chose a people to himself. Think of the nation of Israel. He called them out. He called them to be his people. They were not special. They were not more numerous. But they were God's choice. And he chose to work with them. And so what David is expressing in his song is God's great acts of saving his people are to be remembered. And when David got in the many sticky wickets of his life, the many difficult times of his life, though that fact that God saves because he chose to save encouraged him and strengthened him. That if he chose me, if he called me, he's not going to let me go. And so the key principle that we saw last week, God has redeemed his people and he will not abandon his promises. That's a promise for you and I. If God has shown his grace to you, his mercy to you, you have been able to confess Christ Jesus as Savior, then you are redeemed. And God's not going to let you go. He is going to carry through with his promises, though you live in a fallen and messed up world. And so as we look at this song once again, we find in verse 32 that the song starts out in the second half. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And so basically he's picking up the same theme, that God is my rock. God is this rock that I'm going to depend upon. But now he seems to develop the idea of God as a rock and shows us how when God calls you, he now equips you to do amazing things for his name. And that's what David is doing in this portion of the song. He's recounting how God has equipped him to serve. As he says, my arms are able to bend a mighty bronze bow. And he uses all of these illustrations of how God has equipped him. Now, it's been quite a while since we started our walk through the book of Samuel. You might find November 23 was when we started back in 1 Samuel. But one of the first things we looked at was Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the first 10 verses. Remember Hannah's prayer? That Hannah was childless and she was given the gift of Samuel because she had prayed to God and God brought amazing things forth. And in that message, as we looked at Hannah's prayer, I said these words, and I quote, "God has chosen to record Hannah's story and prayer not as a prescriptive guide." In other words, mamas, if you're childless, pray hard and God will give you a child. That's not the lesson of Hannah's prayer. But rather, because Hannah's story is part of God's bigger unfolding redemptive plan of history, and He uses these things in our lives to bless us. Hannah understood that reality, that her gift of a child, of Samuel, was part of God's redemptive plan to do great things for His people. And yes, she got some great benefits, something she desired very much. But it was about a much bigger picture, God's redemptive plan around her. And so she saw that very clearly. She saw that she was part of God's bigger plan, that God's very character meant that when He works with His people, He will bless us, He will use us. She said it this way, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside Him. There is no rock like our God." You see, Hannah got it, that God's working and He's powerful. And she saw in the baby Samuel that God had blessed her with, she saw that as a picture of God's blessing of His redemptive plan for His people through the nation of Israel. Because remember, we start out 1 Samuel, and what's the time in history? We've just come out of Judges, where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Remember, they all obey heavily, and then they all rebel heavily, and God sends them another Redeemer. And then the cycle repeats again and again. Sound familiar in your life? Oh, I'm going to get back, and I'm going to do this, and you're in the cycle of Judges. It's just a human condition. But Hannah saw a bigger picture, that God had a better plan. And in Hannah's prayer, we saw that her prayer prophetically set the tone for the rest of the book of Samuel. And if you go back to that message, you'll remember, I said, this really does give us an outline as we look at the whole book. This lays the thing out. And one of the prophecies that she put in her prayer was in verse 9. She's saying this in her prayer, "For not by might shall a man prevail." David gets that. We see that in 2 Samuel 22. And that has been a major theme of the whole book of Samuel, all the way through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. And it's this, that it's not human power and ability that counts, but it is God's grace, it is His divine power, and His favor. That's what matters. And this has been a, if you will, an object lesson all through the book of Samuel. And that's why Hannah declared, "Not by might shall a man prevail." In other words, you can try really hard, but it's not going to do much unless God's in it. So get with God's plan. And we saw this. Remember back in the 1 Samuel that we had the big old handsome Saul? 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, "There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he, and from his shoulders upward he was taller than any of the people." So everybody's like, "Whoa, look at Saul. He's handsome, he's big, he can do a lot, he'd be a good king." But what do we read at the end of Saul's reign? Those horrible words, 1 Samuel 31:8. "When the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa." And even David, after hearing of Saul and his sons being killed, he laments in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "Your glory, O Israel, is slain on your high places. Oh, how the mighty have fallen." He's speaking of Saul. It's like, this is a sad day. This was the man who was appointed to lead God's people, but he had led them astray and he had done his own, and God had finally removed him. And then we saw the contrast between Saul's life and David's life in the book of Samuel. And so when we were first introduced to David, after Samuel was instructed to anoint David, remember, Samuel goes to Jesse because God said, go to Jesse, look among his sons. And you remember what Samuel did? He went to Jesse's sons and he's like, Jesse, bring out your sons. And after he sees Jesse's sons, he saw some really handsome specimens among the sons of Jesse. And you remember in that message, we looked and we saw 1 Samuel 16:6, what Samuel said to himself. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. He's like, these are good looking guys. One of them has got to be the king, right? You remember what God said to him? 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel, dude. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, he didn't say that. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected them. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That was the reality. And so after going through what Samuel thought were all of Jesse's sons, Samuel's going, God hadn't said. And you remember he turns to Jesse and he's like, are all your sons there in verse 11? And at that point, I love the words of Jesse. There remains the youngest. Or that word is hard to translate. You might, if you put the amplified version, the youngest, the smallest, the most insignificant one. He's still around. He's out watching the sheep. Why would you want him? That was literally what his dad said to Samuel. And so, take that as a context. Who wrote 2 Samuel 22? David. The insignificant, the youngest, the one who nobody thought. He is being used of God to write these words, and he gets it that he is a nobody as he writes these words. Notice what he writes, verses 47 through 51 in our text today. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me. Who brought me out from my enemies. You, O God, exalted me above those who rose against me. You, God, delivered me from the men of violence. And David gives credit where credit's due. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. And I will sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Here's the reality I want you to catch. David is not a self-made man. David is not like Saul, a head taller, and people are like, yes, he should be king. And David pulls himself up by his bootstraps and takes this. No, David was a nobody, and David understood that. But he also realized David was called by God, was anointed by God to do wonderful and great things for the glory of God. Look at verses 17 through 20 in his psalm. He sent me from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. For he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me. Because why? He delighted in me. David gets it. I'm nobody special. But my God has shown me his favor. He has delighted in me for whatever reason. And he has called me. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due. It's God. What about you in your life? Do you come to God and go, well, you know, I'm not looking at people out there. I'm pretty good, you know. I even attend church. I give some money too. So what?
The question is, does God delight in you?
That's where our power lies. And one thing you should have seen in the 20 chapters about David while Saul was king is, though he had been anointed by Samuel to be the next king, what was the one thing David refused to do? He refused to grasp the kingdom out of Saul's hand until God gave it to him. Think about it. David became king because God literally gave the throne to him. God took Saul out of the picture, and so David was anointed king. David did not grasp at it. Think about it. At least twice we were shown that David had Saul literally in his hands. Remember in 1 Samuel 24, 1 Samuel chapter 26, the two little cave situations. He had the guy's life in his hand literally. And his. Remember the guys who were more fierce than I? Let me just put a spear through him. It's no biggie, David. I'll just pin him to the ground and he's dead. I'll cut off his head. What did David do? Each time he refused to grasp that which God had not placed literally in his hand. How often do we strive after things and go, well, of course I deserve this. No, in humility, he trusted his God to bring about, and he waited until God gave him the throne literally, rather than taking it in his own hands. See the humility and the willingness to trust his God. That's hard. And so what I would submit to you is King David in 2 Samuel 22 is echoing Hannah's prayer. Back in Hannah's prayer, she declared, the Lord brings low and then he exalts. And here is King David singing in verse 28, you save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. And in verses 47, he says, the Lord lives and blessed be my rock and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who has given me vengeance and brought down peoples under me. For he has brought me out from my enemies. You have exalted me above those who rose against me. You have delivered me from men of violence. It's interesting, that word haughty in verse 28 is the same word as exalted. Isn't that odd? It's the same Hebrew word. Now, one time we translated haughty, the next time we translated exalted. And what David is saying is that God has brought down the high, those who think they're high, the haughty, and he has lifted up the one who is humble. It's this juxtaposition that let God be God. And even more powerful, in verse 36, David says, you have given me the shield of your salvation and your gentleness made me great. Now, what do I do with that? Your gentleness. God's gentleness made me great? Perhaps that's not the best way to translate that. I think actually the ESV nailed it there. And they did have to do what they often do, and that is interpret for you. Not my favorite way to translate a Bible, but that's what they do sometimes. And the NIV, I think, got it right. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they got it right. The NIV says, you stoop down to make me great. That's the picture that David is saying. He says, imagine the great God of the universe who stooped down and lifted up this lowly shepherd boy. And he's made me great. He recognizes the credit, and he's giving credit to God for what is due. And so David says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's really what he's saying there when he says, you stoop down to make me great. David is amazed and he praises his God who has done this. And so think about your lives. You may go, well, I'm not great. I'm not a king. I'm not Well, some of you are dads, and you've been entrusted with perhaps the most precious treasure there is. Young people, children, your children. And God has stooped down to make you great, to equip you, to strengthen you, to do the work that He's called you to do. Sometimes you go, well, I'm not a dad. Well, maybe you're a spouse. Wives have roles, husbands have roles, and your job is to be ministering to your spouse.
Well, I'm not married.
Then you are given the gift of singleness, and you ought to be using it for His glory. And let me just lovingly tell you to step forward for a moment. Well, I can't do this because I'm not. No, find out what God has you to do and allow Him to equip you to do the work He's called you to do. Too often we listen to the lies of the evil one and we go, I'm just not worth it. My sin, oh, you know, you don't know my sins, but if you knew my sins, they're too great for God. Really? Step forward, let me slap you a few times, then I'll pray for you. Remember what David and what Hannah taught us. God uses those He calls not worthy people. He makes us worthy by His grace and by His mercy, not by your resume. God doesn't care about your resume. I love the words Moses spoke to Israel as they were about to enter into the promised land. Remember, these are God's chosen people, the Israelites, as they're about to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says this to the people. Hey guys, you're a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And you can imagine God's people going, oh, yeah, we good. And in case that's the case, what's the next sentence that he says? Verse 7. You want a little humility, folks? Deuteronomy 7:7. It was not because you were more numerous than any of the other people that the Lord has set His love on you and chosen you. For you are the fewest of all peoples. Oops. There went my pride. There went my, oh, I'm chosen. No, it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, and He has redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love, hesed love, with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So God's people, yeah, we are God's people. If you think you are worthy and God should save you because, well, I'm an American and I do this and I do that, as Moses would say, step forward, let me slap you. No, it is because God has chosen you and He has chosen to reveal to you the reality of His great salvation that He loves you. And that's why He enters into covenant with you. I love Paul. Paul, he writes to the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And he's writing to the believers there who were thinking, well, you know, we're pretty good. Corinthians 1, 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So why do you and I as believers stand before God today? What do we have to boast in? God's mercy and His grace. End of discussion. It's that simple. Because our standing with God is because of His great mercy, that He chose to love us. He chose to put His favor upon us. And you go, well, why do you keep stressing that? Because some of you struggle with your security.
Oh, do I keep my salvation? Can I keep? Well, let me put it this way. If God has chosen to shine upon you the understanding of Jesus Christ as Savior, your security is not because, boy, you figured that all out on your own. No, the gracious God of the universe allowed you to figure that out. He showed it to you by the power of His Spirit. He quickened you. He made you alive because you were dead in your trespasses and sins, is how it says in Ephesians. But your God is a faithful God who keeps covenant. And so if He has shown you these things, He is a faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commands. So what's your responsibility? What's your role? Just simply respond to His hesed love. Respond to His steadfast love and do the best you can do to love Him and keep His commands, which you're going to fail at. But remember, His grace and His mercy are great. And remind yourself that even your faithfulness is a gift from God because He has indwelt the Holy Spirit within you. And so as these words from David, I get the job of a prophet today to remind you that they're declared to you. These are God's words reminding who you are, that you haven't received the message of the gospel by accident. No, it was God's gracious, loving mercy in whatever way it happened in your life that He has called you. And so He is calling you to serve Him because He has shown His grace and favor upon you. And I urge you to respond to that mercy and live in the power of that mercy. It's interesting, as you look at both Hannah's song and David's song, they both point us to Christ ultimately. Yet, no, did they know who Jesus Christ would be and that His name would be Jesus Christ? Probably not. They knew that God would provide salvation. That's the end of the discussion for them. But they knew it was true. And so they realized that the blessings that they were getting, both Hannah and David in their lives, were only a foretaste of what was to come. There were better things to come. David looked forward to his greater son. Hannah looked forward to the blessings that God would bring to His people. Hannah puts it this way, 2:10, the Lord, 1 Samuel 2:10, the Lord will judge the ends of the earth and He will give strength to His king and He will exalt the horn of His anointed. I believe that ultimately looks to Christ. And Hannah said, something's good coming. That's what it is. And so her words were looking past King David. They were looking all the way to the better king. David himself, he writes at the end of the psalm, or his song, verse 51 of chapter 22. Great salvation He brings to His king. David wasn't looking at himself. David was looking to his greater son. The king, the capital K king. And he shows his steadfast love to his anointed, to David, and to his offspring forever. That's you and I underneath the authority of the great king that is prophesied. And so both David and Hannah point past their present to God's promised and coming Messiah. Isn't it interesting that we get these glimpses of this Messiah? And we look to the ultimate Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should be encouraged and we should be uplifted by David's song. We should, like David, see that God works through insignificant people, through humble people. And hopefully that's us. We recognize, I wasn't anything special. But God has shown His grace to me. He actually allowed me to understand that Jesus Christ loved me and died for me. And God has raised me up. And then when God does that, He doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just save you so you got your get out of hell free ticket. No, He saves you. Why? That you might serve Him. You might bring glory to Him. And then here's the really cool part. He equips you to do that, so that you might do them for God's glory. And that's what David's song is all about. Is he's going, all these things he's done for me. He makes my hand strong and my sword work really well. And these were the things that David was called to do for God. And God calls you and me to do similar things. No, we're not going out and cutting people's heads off. But we do have the sword of the Spirit, don't we? We do have the weapons. You can go read all about those in the New Testament, don't we? And we have armor and we have these things, but it's in the spiritual realm, and that our battle is taking the gospel to all those brand new houses, to all of your neighbors, to all of your coworkers, to your friends at school, to those on your baseball team. I don't care where they are. That's your battlefield. And the amazing thing is, God equips you to do what you need to do. And so if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, realize that God has saved you to be part of His big plan. His great big plan. You are part of His plan for the nations. Israel, or more rightly said, Israel is the church, is it not? And it's made up of those that God has called. And through the work of God's provision, Jesus Christ, He equips us. He strengthens us. And so literally you can take David's song and you can say, this is being fulfilled today. As Christ's church, as an individual believer, I get to preach, I get to share, I get to give the good news of the gospel. I take the sword of the Spirit to those around me. And God has chosen to extend His kingdom, and He might even use me. So let me be ready. What an amazing privilege we have. Look at how often David writes of God equipping him. Verse 30. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Now spiritualize that. What's that look like? Okay. You can keep sharing the message in a very defeatist world. You can leap over great walls. God, they're never going to listen to this. They're going to think I'm a fool. So what? By God, you can leap over what seems to be impossible. This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. 33. How many of y'all have a perfect blameless life? Well, you probably don't, but you do in Christ, don't you? And so recognize who you are in Christ, that God sees you, God empowers you because you are blameless as you have faith in His provision of salvation. Verse 34, David writes, He made my feet like a deer. He trains my hands for war. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made my enemies turn their backs to me. Do not give up, neighbor, coworker, friend, chum in school, I don't care where. Pray, pray, and pray some more, and continue to be faithful in sharing the good news of the gospel with them, and you will be amazed. And so, God does the same thing with us today. How often do you feel, oh, I just can't do that. I'm not gifted at sharing the scriptures. Well, pray. And trust that God will work through you because He gave you the knowledge of Jesus. And so therefore He can equip you through the Spirit. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Notice not in some of you. And so some of you are called to share the gospel, and the rest of you, well, you're just sick. That's not what Paul's saying. He's like, The Spirit equips every one of you to do the work of ministry. How exciting is that? That we are equipped to do that. Even the last words of Jesus that are recorded, some of the last words. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Okay? So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That applies to all of us as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there may be some here today who, they're not sure what your relationship is with God. I don't know whether I'm a believer or not. Okay, good. Then guess what? You are ordained by God to be here in the hearing of these words today. David understood that he was called by God to serve God for His glory. And each and every human being has been called by God to serve Him for His glory. Now, some will do that willingly. They will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Others will, they will one day bow their knee, but it won't be willingly. And they will still glorify God. And what happens is a lot of people go, well, I don't know whether I am called. I don't know whether I need to do, maybe I just don't know. And too often in our modern world, we try to put God on a shelf. Because we're not big into the supernatural and believing in a supernatural God in this culture, are we? But here's the deal. When you read the scriptures, shameless plug for men's group. You know, we talk and discuss and we often talk about this very question. That we were created by God and He calls us to serve Him with our lives. And so every human being, that would be you. You were created by God to serve Him. Now, will you do that willingly, or will you just simply do it because God's going to cause it to happen? The author of Hebrews puts it this way, and he gives a warning to those who are hanging around the church. And he says this in Hebrews 3:12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you might be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." I think one of the ways to look at that is realize it's so easy to get caught up in life, you know, just living life, trying to get bread on the table, to feed your family, to care for your spouse, to take care of the kids, to just live. And we forget why God put us here. We forget that we are called by God to bring glory to Him, to bless our spouses, to bless our children, to live our lives for those that we come in contact with so that they will see God in us. That's why God works with us. And here's the deal. You cannot do that by trying harder. Some of you will go and go, "Well, man, this is a good reminder. I just need to, you know, maybe be more intentional. Or maybe I need a mentor." That's the big thing nowadays, is to get a mentor. Or a coach. I'm sorry, they call it life coach now, right? And they'll help me do what I need to do. Now, you're not going to pull yourself up. In humbleness, come to your God and say, "I am yours. Equip me. Empower me by the power of your Spirit." Look at what David declared, verses 2 through 4. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He is my rock in whom I take refuge. My God is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. And so I call upon you who is worthy to be praised, and I will be saved from my enemies." You see, David was looking forward to God's salvation. David didn't know what the cross and Jesus and all that would look like. All David knew is that God had provided salvation. And he looked in faith to that. And he was a great sinner, but yet he was a great forgiven sinner. You get a really good advantage. You get the privilege of living in the year 2025. You don't have to go, "I wonder what God's salvation will look like." You can know it. Because what year do we live in? 2025. And about 2025 years ago, give or take a number of years, Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He came in the flesh. He obeyed in the flesh, something you didn't do. And then He offered Himself on the cross to be the sacrifice, to be the propitiation, to be the payment for your sins, and then came up out of the grave. And if you believe that, what the scriptures tell us is he will equip you to now serve him. And so as you look at that salvation, you should live that every day going, I can do this because God's equipping me. I feel incompetent sometimes, but it's okay. God's working through me. You see, David realized he was a sinner without the love and grace of God. I love how he writes it. Psalm 41:4, he says, as for me, O Lord, be gracious unto me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. Do you see what David did? He confessed his sin and he said, my hope's in you, Lord. That's all we need to do is turn from our sin and turn to the God who saves. I like how Paul put it. Ephesians or Acts 16:31. Don't know where Ephesians came from. But you remember the jailer? He heard the message and he goes, what must I do to be saved? Remember the words that Paul said? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. It's not complicated, is it? That's all it takes. So let us learn from these words of the great King David that God, the God of the universe, is indeed the rock to those that humble themselves and come to him for salvation. And he will empower you to bring glory to his name. Amen. Father, what a joy, what a privilege to read these words, to be reminded that these words are given to us to remind us that we are not special. But in your grace and your mercy, you have chosen to work through us. You have chosen to use us for your glory, for your honor. And so we pray these things in your Son's glorious and precious name. Amen. Amen.